Welcome back, everyone, to Art 3 of the Aurora Campaign. Call of the Never Bright. That's good. I like that. A story away from Aurora and away from the Keepers of Carthwood as we explore even deeper the lore of our world, the humble beginnings of the Keepers Guild, and the dark mysteries of the Never Bright. We are Everything's a Mimic, and this is our D&D 5e actual play. My name is Nick, and I'm the Dungeon Master of this campaign.
Yeah.
And as always, I'm joined by my good friends and very much alive players. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hey, I'm Andy, and I play Ignatius Black, who is alive.
Still Ignatius Black.
I'm Ryan D, and I still play Arcos Aloro.
Arcos Aloro.
I am Ryan Bennett, and I remain in command of Caspis Atration.
Caspis.
And I'm Cody Rasmussen, and I didn't have any issues with losing hit points as Celeste Willowmere.
We aren't fucking around anymore, okay?
Hey, I'll tell you
something. Steaks are real, and they're unseasoned.
And they're raw.
You ever eat a raw steak before?
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah.
Hated it.
Yeah, I bought a massive steak, and I could not cook it properly with the stovetop that we had and my inability to cook, and then I made myself eat the entire thing over the course of like several hours, and it was a mistake.
How'd you do?
Huh?
How'd you do afterward?
Surprisingly well. It was difficult, and there was some indigestion involved, but, you know, wasn't the worst thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that will eat a steak, they just get a quick sear on the edges of it, and then they call it good.
Yeah,
I think you need to get it to a certain temperature, though.
Yeah, I think so, at least.
But we're not here to talk about steaks. We're here to, we'll get into, you know, dinner ideas later. But this question I have for you guys, as we kind of jump into back into our game, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about this. Do you guys believe in ghosts? I've been watching a show called Project Fear. It's on YouTube right now. It used to be Destination Fear on the Travel Channel, but then I guess
they got there. Project
with that Sam guy. I forgot his name.
Not Sam, Dakota.
Dakota, that's his name.
Dakota Layden. He was actually on Ghost Adventures for a while, and I guess he left that because the host of that show is a big old penis. And then he did his own thing, and then the penis guy ended up indirectly got his show off that channel as well, and so then they started a YouTube channel. Anyway, Project Fear, it's really fun. I like the way they investigate. It's entertaining. But do you believe in ghosts?
I think it depends on how drunk I am. Because if I'm really, really drunk, then yes, I believe in ghosts 100%. And like
various cryptids.
Oh yeah, yeah, just out there. But sober, I don't know.
Ghosts and ghoul people.
I like the thought of them. Like, it would be cool if there was a like explanations for certain things, you know. But yeah, I'm gonna go back to my original statement. It depends on how drunk I am.
All right.
I'll say no. I don't think I do. I think most of the time, whenever anyone is going to look into it, it's, you know, like, well, that could be something, or it could absolutely be nothing. And most videos where they're like, oh, look at this thing, I'm, you know, it's either very fake or is, you know, doctored at the least, or could be, you know, distortion of some sort. So I've seen no evidence to suggest that it is real, but
I've watched a lot of ghost videos on YouTube, and there's a lot of people out there that have really compelling evidence. I mean, it's crazy shit, you know, and it almost seems like, I don't know if this is what you mean, but it seems too good.
I think that's,
you know,
there are people who are really good writers, or people who can make things up really well and make you believe them, and I think that's more likely than that it actually happened. And that's just kind of, you know, that's just kind of how I see it, so.
I always figured they should make a paranormal show, a paranormal investigation show about like people that watch those videos, those good ones, and then they go meet those people and investigate that there, because it seems like if that kind of shit's happening all the time there for these people, then they should have no problem finding something, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, right? Beat?
They're just the ghosts chosen, you know, the ghosts only choose to reveal themselves to them, and they manage to do it in just such a way as to only prevent an overwhelming body of evidence to those people in exclusion while simultaneously leaving no evidence for the rest of us to be able to come back and look at after the fact, other than taking them at, you know, face value. So, I don't believe in ghosts. I believe in the spirits and the souls of human beings, but I believe that they're appointed to a place after leaving their physical bodies to be resurrected, you know, at the end of time, essentially. So that's the boring answer. Sorry.
All right. Cody.
What?
Do you believe in ghosts?
No, but I believe in love.
Well, you're... In Queensryche doesn't believe in love.
I'm not talking about Queensryche. I'm talking about the one and only Cher. Jesus Christ, get it together, Ryan.
Van Halen ain't talking about love.
Van Halen's dead. So, I don't and I do at the same time. There's things that's happened to me that I can't explain. It happened to both of us that we can't explain, like JP Jones Center and doors closing. I don't know if you remember that time.
I don't.
We were the last ones there. We were waiting for the owner to show back up with the keys, and we were just kind of exploring, and we went upstairs and the door closed.
I don't remember that.
This was Sophie Station Times, so we were doing a lot of spooky stuff. But I've had instances happen to me, two of them, that I can't explain. One where I got dragged off a couch, and another one where something grabbed my ankles while I was in bed and lifted it up and pushed me into the bed. But I don't know if that's just being like half asleep or what. But I can't explain those. But other than that, like, most stuff that have spooked me, I've been able to logically figure it out. Mm-hmm. After the initial me being spooked part. But I believe there could be.
I believe there could be. I have a particular event that happened to me that that I can't explain. And it was weird. It spooked me a little bit. What happened was the Mecca downtown here. It's an old, really old bar here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And I work for a distributor, and I had to, when I first joined this workforce, I had to make a delivery there. I was bringing them like 12 cases of beer. And so when I brought it there, I wheeled it inside with my hand truck, and I'm like, oh, where do you want it? And they're like, oh, downstairs. I'm like, okay, well, which door? I've never been there. I'm like, which door is that? And they pointed to the door, and they said, oh, it's locked. And then she threw me the keys, and she's like, I'm not going down there, though. I'm like, whoa, okay.
That's what you want to hear.
And so I unlocked the door, and one of the guys that was sitting nearby, I guess maybe a regular there, but he's like, she gets spooked by the ghost down there. I'm like, oh, cool. That's fucking cool.
This is like so Pet Cemetery. Go down there now.
Yeah. I open the door, and it's just, there's like tunnels down underneath the city of Fairbanks, right? Like downtown. There's tunnels everywhere. And it just goes downstairs into like dark tunnels. And I guess they have like a cellar area where they keep all their beer and extra booze and shit. And so I had like stuff on my hand truck, and I was just like, you know, going down these stairs. As soon as I get down to the bottom of the stairs, there's a hallway, but it also cuts to the right and goes back. And there's a room, an open door leading into a dark room behind me, behind these stairs. I was like, that's fucking creepy. So the lady came up to the door, and she didn't come down the stairs. And she's like, it's the first room on your right. And so, like, I wheel down and find this room on the right and go in. And I see where they have all their other beers and stuff staged down there. So I'm unloading the stuff off of this hand truck. And I go up, I get the last load, and I come down there. And as I'm doing, like, the third to last case of beer, I'm hunched over, leaning down, and I can see the doorway to the hallway that goes back upstairs. And as I'm leaning down, I look. Well, and I didn't see it this first, but I heard a voice of somebody saying, "Not like that." And I thought it was the lady, or somebody, you know, somebody who works there. And when I looked back as I was unloading this, I just saw like the bottom half. I saw like legs standing at the door. And so I stood up to like turn and like acknowledge this person, and there was nobody there. And so then I immediately like turned back and like grabbed the last two cases and threw them up there. And I like, as I was going up the stairs, I was just like, like dragging this heavy ass hand truck, because I didn't want to like get up there as fast as I could. It freaked me out, man. I swear I heard that voice say, "Not like that." And I saw like what looked like legs standing at the door of like in like somebody was watching me.
Yeah,
it was so fucking weird. And that's like one of my most recent forays into that kind of shit.
One thing I will add to that is, I think there are things that you know, weird stuff that's unexplained. I just don't know that it's ghosts. It's kind of like, you know, how like the Ancient Aliens show where they're like, oh, yeah, it's all ancient aliens if you connect it. And it's like, or it could be something else. You're just, you've really fixated. And that's kind of a thing for ghost. People will be like, everything that you can't explain is ghost. And not saying that that's what you're saying. I'm just saying in general, that seems to be a thing.
Yeah,
but, yeah. There are weird things that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe. Obviously, I believe in a metaphysical aspect to reality. But it seems to me that the spirits of the dead, themselves are sequestered to a specific fate, and that other beings at large may be more readily accountable for things like that. Not to mention, there are a lot of phenomena of just extrasensory weirdness going on. I was alone working at Michael's. I was just the only person in the entirety of the store. Was doing some stuff on their top stock area, and it was early, early, early in the morning. Like, I don't know, still dark outside. And all of a sudden, I heard a clatter like halfway across the store. So I'm like, there shouldn't be anybody else in here. Hold on, did I lock the door? Because I've left it unlocked before, and like vagrants have come in there. Mm-hmm. Just walking around, like, oh, you're not open yet? I figured that might have been what was going on. So I walked across the store and found a bunch of stuff had fallen off of a peg, off a shelf, basically. And I was like, I don't see anybody. I don't hear anybody around here. You know, I'm just going to pick it up and put it back on the thing. And I went back, kept doing what I was doing. And not a minute later, I heard him hit the floor again. And so I've worked retail long enough to know that while a normal person at this point is going, oh my God, I'm being persecuted by, you know, the undead, I'm like, no, it's probably just a bad, you know, hook or something like that. And these things are just falling off the shelf because they were sliding when I left them there. And I just didn't see it because it was too imperceptible at speed. But still, you know, I'm fighting at this point the heightening sense in the back of my mind that, like, you know, be on your guard kind of thing. So I walk back over there and I put the stuff away. And at this point in the morning, I'm like, you know, I got to poop. So I got the bathroom right there and stuff, and I go over there, punch in the key code, and the door, you know, opens up and unlocks. I'm fairly certain that there's nobody in the building, because in the interim, between the first time and the second time that it happened, I'd passed by the front door to make sure that it was shut and secure. So I go to the bathroom, and it's got a motion detector for the light. And I've done this a couple times, and I'm like, you know what really sucks is when you're in the bathroom, you know, going to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden the motion detector turns off and it gets, you know, pitch black in there. So I'm hoping that I'm able to get my business done, you know, ahead of time, basically, so that does not happen. But I go into the stall and I shut the stall door and, you know, proceed to do as I do. And I can tell, like, that timer in the back of my brain is like, it's getting close, it's probably about to, and then of course the lights turn off, and I'm like, all right, well, you can just, you know, do this by feel and wash your hands extra good, I guess. I'm not a baby. So I'm sitting there pitch black, the morning's already been a little weird, but I go to stand up and walk towards the stall door, and the light turns on because the stall door is open that I closed.
Ugh.
Not 2 feet from me, it had opened in the darkness without me realizing it.
Oh my God.
Pitch black silent.
That just sent chills down my body. Last we left, our heroes came out victorious in the fight against the gibbering mouthers with a well-placed blow from Steven, the astral elf.
Boo.
Once again, coming in clutch with the glaive. The party explored the chamber and discovered several unopened coffins, a couple of opened ones that the gibbering mouthers came out of, and then the large statue on the far wall depicting an angel with two other figures beneath its wings. While Ignatius and Vilgast explored that, Celeste had checked out... Oh, wait, no. Because Ignatius found the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then
and
Celeste.
Then Celeste came up behind him, and Celeste saw the ghost of the figure who owned the ring in a past life.
Yeah.
Or what you might think.
And then we robbed the other coffin because there wasn't a ghost.
And then you robbed the other coffin because there wasn't a ghost that came out.
Yeah.
Clean and, conscious.
Yeah. There ain't no ghost. You get the make the most. I don't know.
And so after kind of searching this room and coming to an agreement to take the right chamber.
I don't know if we really came to an agreement. It felt like Vilgast kind of pushed us that way, and yeah. We should have killed him.
It's kind of his mission, though.
Kill Gast.
I
like
mean,
it.
All right.
Well, he got to get up front and deal with
yeah.
Or
yeah,
behind no,
yeah, both of them. I will get up front, and I'll take the brunt of the damage.
Good. He seems like a nice guy. He's probably just looking for directions.
Excuse me, sir.
As they plant a beak into his skull. Suck out the fucking brain innards.
Spray the digested matter out of the back end of its tentacles.
As the tentacles are flapping.
All right.
Just something to note, you found those torches on the walls. They're not really torches. They're like lanterns, orbs,
yeah,
that are expelling the red torchlight that you saw in Red Sand's Refuge. So it's similar to that.
Lant orbs.
If you try to remove them, they will break.
If you remove them from the walls, they will break, discovered by Ignatius.
No, hey, we don't know that. It was just broken when I found it. I just found it.
I didn't hear him break it.
No one heard me break it.
As you guys moved further into the room, the clicking noise that Arcos had heard before you guys entered here was getting louder. And then it kind of crescendoed as you moved further into the room, as you found another hallway leading to the south that was full of an amber haze. And through the haze came a vicious, not even vicious looking, it's more just gross looking.
Like a Muppet, like a gross Muppet.
Almost like, yeah, that's a really good depiction. It looks like a gross Muppet. It's a
tentacling beaker.
A large brain with a beak and several wisping tentacles waving from its underside. Its undercarriage. Grell. You can look up Grell.
Yeah, just look at the picture. You'll see. Sometimes I think maybe...
Oh, yeah, that is pretty ugly.
Maybe they just smoked a lot of weed when they made up their monsters, or... Maybe this was something else? I don't know.
That reminds me of something off the Dark Crystal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much that beak.
It's that beak.
Come on. So that's it. And there's its stat block, if anybody can read it.
Don't read the stat block.
That thing looks ugly as shit. It looks like a ball sack with a beak.
Yeah.
You're pretty good.
And so let me reveal these guys on the map for you.
Let us see these beak sacks.
Wait, hold on. These guys don't have eyes.
They don't.
Then can they see us?
They detect.
I guess you'd have to. You'll have to find out. I mean, do you have some knowledge that you can roll to figure that out?
No, we don't roll knowledge on monsters. We just kill them. We live in ignorance and we swing our weapons at them.
I don't read stat blocks. I cut through them.
Would survival count?
No.
I rip them out of the book so that Nick can't read them. Then I've killed the monster effectively.
Mutually assured destruction.
What do you think you would roll to figure that out? That's not survival.
Nature.
That's the problem with being on a foreign world, is you kind of left to...
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting.
All right. Let's get initiative as these horrid creatures. One emerges from the mist down that hallway towards Arcos. Two more explode out of the coffin. Behind you guys, let's get that initiative.
I don't know if I've ever said this, but I have vigilant blessings, so that gives me advantage.
Oh.
Or whoever I want to give it to you. But I have to give it to me because we all know why.
Yep.
Celeste.
I rolled an 8. And then with the advantage, rolled a 15.
Nice.
Okay. Plus 2. 17.
Caspis.
seeing these things emerging from the hallway, an expression of just exhausted despair you can't see behind the mask comes over Caspus, and he leans against the wall and steals himself with an initiative roll of 7. He's not in it, but he's here.
7. I like your description. Very good. Arcos.
Arcos rolled a 23.
Ooh.
Nice.
Ignatius rolled a 23.
Ooh, nice.
Roll off?
Little
or
roll
who wants
off?
To go first?
Throw your dice at each
let's
other.
Let's do a roll off.
All right, let's roll. Just flat, are we?
It's a yeah. flat roll.
Yeah, just flat.
Pretty flat.
Rolled a 9.
I rolled a 2.
Okay.
You got it.
Surprise, surprise. Andy wins. Glavesman.
No, Glavesman is the one who wins, apparently.
Ooh. Yeah, nat you got 20. A natural. Yeah, you got a nat 20.
Jesus.
What a
Stop.
Fucking piece of shit.
Well, maybe he'll eat all of Nick's natural 20s, so.
Yeah, I guess as long as, I mean, you know.
And he got a 23 as well, so I need to roll off with you.
Uh-oh. But do we all need a 3? Well.
Yeah, all three of us.
To see where he places.
Actually, wait. I'll just roll mine. Because you got a 9?
No, he got a 9. I got a 2.
He beats Andy.
So
then
I, yeah, he beat Andy then.
Okay. So he goes before me?
I think that should be a new roll off. is this the Glavesman?
Yeah.
Man, fuck the Glavesman.
You want to roll off with him?
Yeah, fuck him.
All three of us?
Yeah.
Or just between you and me?
No, all three of us. Okay. Fuck him. Fucking piece of shit.
4.
12.
17.
All right, cool. Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Fucking kick him to the back of the line. Just gonna swoop in there and get the final kills anyways.
It's better, actually, that he attacks a little later.
Wouldn't it be better if he attacked first so that we could get the kill?
No. We want this guy to become a legend. Like, you see that Ignatius has already started ripping out pages from Arcos' story to make new ones.
Arcos is fucking pissed. He instantly is like, you are no longer.
Well, technically his name is Steve. That's basically the same as saying he's Elven. So yeah. What we'll actually end up calling him is the Finisher.
Yeah.
All right. And I'm going to move him over here. And Zakhar and Vilgast will stay behind.
I'll protect Vilgast back here.
I'll pet the spirit fox.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, he's a sweet boy.
So before we get into this, I just want to throw one thing out with Pass Without Trace. Because it's not that it just silences us. There's also a veil of shadows that like masks us.
So, makes you invisible?
No, it doesn't say that. It just says, a veil of shadows and silence radiates from you, masking you and your companions from detection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just still confused.
Giving you a plus 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the bonus you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say that it's making you invisible.
No.
So you were able to get through past these other ones. They didn't hear you. And this other one, I mean, this other one was floating in this room. I mean, as you moved up to the hallway.
Mm-hmm. But we're still covered in shadow, right? Like, we're not just out in the open moving about. Like, there's shadows radiating from Arcos.
What would you like out of this?
I don't know.
It's like,
I don't know. I just don't like how this started. It feels kind of like I wasted a spell.
I'll tell you what. How
you
about I give,
like to consign?
I will.
Yeah, I would like to. You know what? That spell didn't really work for me, so I would like to buy that spell. I would like for you to pay me so that I can take my action back and have that spell slot.
What level spell was that?
It was my highest. A second level. That's pretty high.
Tell you what.
For me.
I will let you either.
So we would have gotten attacked earlier, is basically what you're saying, if we hadn't. So maybe, how about, like, we get advantage on the first round?
I was going to say you guys can have a surprise round.
Oh, that...
I'll take that.
Yeah, that's... Kay.
I'll take that.
That's more than generous.
Yes.
Okay.
Cool.
I'm not actually, like, that is more than generous, but okay.
Yes. Yes, it is. I will take it.
Enjoy your surprise round.
Thank you.
And so, Ignatius, you will go first.
Oh, and then I'll go first again after we go, you know... Because a surprise round is a full extra round before they get to even act. Mm-hmm. So basically we get 2 rounds of combat. So Ignatius will, seeing the threat emerge, he will drop the stealth pretense. And as he's running, he's going to see the ones kind of behind. And then he's going to move over to get beside Grell 3 on its right side, up into the corner of this little room. And he's going to draw out his sword and ignite it as a bonus action, which I will track right now.
Oops,
not. And then he is going to attack. Does a dirty 20 hit?
Yes.
Okay. Just going to roll the damages separate because I don't know what kind of hit points they have. Nice, okay. 23 damage on that first attack.
23 damage.
11 of that was fire, if that matters.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay. Second attack. And he still seems like he's doing okay?
Yep.
Okay. I figured they would be a little hardier, but I wanted to make sure. So does a 18 hit?
An 18 does hit.
Okay.
Nice.
And that one is 22 damage.
22 damage on the same one?
Yes, attacking the same guy.
All right.
47.
And now this small room is filled with bright light.
Sword of light cuts into the membranous.
Membranous.
Yeah.
Membranous.
Of Grell 1 that popped out of the coffin. And that is going to be... That's the end of your turn, Ignatius?
Yes.
Arcos.
All right, Arcos is going to move south to Grell 2. And as he is doing that, he is going to use a bonus action for his insightful fighting. So I need you to make a deception check, Nick.
17.
All right, I got a 25. So I can use my sneak attack on this guy, even if I don't have advantage or anybody else around it. So now I'm gonna...
That's a bonus action, correct?
Yes, yep, that's a bonus action. So now I'm going to use my action to attack. That's probably a miss. That's a 10 to hit on the first one.
That is a miss.
And that is a 16 to hit on the second one.
And you just cut into it at that point.
Oh, thank goodness. All right. So that is going to be... Ooh, horrible. Horrible. That is 13 points of damage on that first attack. And then Arcos is going to jump backwards. That ends his turn.
On Grell 1... Grell...
Grell 2.
All right. And that's the end of Arcos' turn.
Yep.
The Glaivesman is not getting in on this round. Celeste, that's your turn.
She's going to move bottom right, like take a sidestep into that corner right there and kind of peek around the corner. She sees that Gale 2 and then the other two over by Caspis and Ignatius. And she's going to swirl some, conjure some shadowy spirits and blast them out to him. And I'm going to cast Bane on all three.
Excellent.
Very nice.
That'll be good.
Give
and that's
bang.
A
that's a charisma save.
Charisma save.
They seem strong in charisma. I mean, they're a giant brain.
So I'll start on the top and work my way down. The top one gets a 13.
Fail.
The next one gets a 19.
Pass.
And the last one gets a 19.
Jeez. Okay. So Grill 3 is the only one who got it.
So got one at least. As a bonus action. Nope, that'll end her turn.
All right. Very good, Celeste.
That wasn't.
All right. That was a really shitty fucking turn of yours.
It was.
I'm really disappointed that you had that stupid fucking turn.
Thanks, Dad.
So you did not use your bonus action, correct?
No, I didn't.
Okay, and you are concentrating on Bane for the one?
Yeah, on the one.
And that's the end of Celeste's turn?
Yeah, that's it.
Caspis, time to deal some damage.
All right. With his blind senses, the aggressors behind him having emerged from the sarcophagus and taking a weary breath, he stands fully upright, turns, pivoting on one leg stiffly to face the thing, and sidesteps diagonally backwards so that he is across from Ignatius. The sword, standing in place, rotates as he's doing this and then assumes a horizontal orientation with relation to the ground, pointing directly at Grell number one, and completes this sort of rotation as he's raising his hand up, and then he closes his gauntlet and it jets forward in an attempt to spear this creature, attacking with advantage.
Spear it up against Ignatius?
No, it's Ignatius is. So it would be going, so it would be stabbing the creature, and basically we would be facing each other with the thing sliding between us.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It's cooler if you stab it into Ignatius, though.
It would probably work.
And he gives you a thumbs up as he dies.
That's a 23.
23 to hit?
Yes.
Yes, sir. That'll do it.
Okay, and that is going to be 29 points of damage. And then I do have a first level spell slot and a second level spell slot left. I intend to use that, but let's go cinematic here. As it spears first into the first one, you see his hand like is just this rictus claw clutching down, and then he completely closes the gauntlet, and it drives through the membrane, attempting to impact the second creature as well.
Nice. With his second attack, basically, wouldn't it?
Yeah, this is his second attack.
So are you smiting on this?
I will be going to attempt to use two smites.
On just this one creature?
No.
Okay, so...
One smite is going to be attached to the first attack, but I wanted it to, you know... Theater of the mind, guys.
So the smite is going to go through Grell 1.
Yes.
And then your second attack is...
My first level spell slot smite is attached to number 1. And right. Let's see if this second attack hits.
Real quick, can you can attack around corners, right?
I think as long as it... I think you can. I thought there was something with cover, but I think it might be fine for melee.
Because I want to double check on this because I think I got...
That's a good point,
I got passed up on that one time.
Yeah, so let's make sure on that. Because I know there's something weird about... I know you can't move around corners like by diagonally going through them, but I'm not sure about for melee attacks.
If that's the case, wouldn't Grell 1 get an attack of opportunity on Celeste?
Oh, because you moved?
If I can't move diagonally.
Technically it would have, but...
That's a good point.
Because you would have had to move actually straight and then down.
Yeah.
You can attack around the corner without penalty for cover.
Okay.
But how about moving around corners? Diagonal movement cannot cross the corner of a wall.
Okay. So that one's got an attack of opportunity.
Which one?
It would be Grell 1.
Yeah, because I think we were...
You were here and then you moved
down. I thought I could move diagonally.
You're good. Yeah, I'll take that attack of opportunity real quick, can I? Just take it real quick?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, since it was a missed, it was not a, it wasn't something you missed, it was a rule that we all didn't consider, so I think that's fair.
Mm.
It wouldn't have changed.
I don't know, guys. It's passed.
All right,
you know?
Thanks, dude.
You know, it's kind of, the moment's kind of passed.
That's an 18 to hit.
I think that's a hit.
I think that's a miss.
Yeah. That's a hit.
Yeah. But guys, I think it's a miss.
Yeah. Not that bad.
Wait, can you make an attack of opportunity in a surprise round?
Oh,
that's actually interesting. Can you make reactions in a surprise round?
I don't think you can. Good lord, this it's all full of rules.
My man.
Sometimes
a surprised creature cannot move, take an action, bonus action, or reaction on their turn during that round of combat.
You can take your reaction before your first turn unless you are surprised.
Okay.
So then you're good.
Okay.
Perfect.
We'll just say it was that sweet 31.
Ooh, good call, Ryan B.
Good job.
Lots of clutch remembrance of rules today. I want to congratulate everyone for being upfront and on it.
Except for Nick.
And since Nick did clarify that I can attack around corners, Caspis's gauntlet closes fully into a tight clawed fist, and this thing punches through the first creature, through some non-lethal part of it, and attempts to spear the second. The second creature that I'm attacking does have Bane on it.
Yes.
I don't think that affects your attacks. It just affects its attacks.
Oof. So close.
Or saves.
Yeah.
There's a roll of 19 for a 26.
A 26 will hit.
Okay. And this is the one that my second level smite will be attached to. So he's going to first receive the old 2d6. And he takes 31 damage.
31 points of D's. Dizzle.
Okay, and as they're both shish kebabbed on the sword, he opens his gauntlet again, and this flash of light just incinerates off that ripples down the blade from the hilt. You see the first one take the impact of a first level smite, dealing an extra 4 damage for just a single d8.
2d8.
Oh, it's 2d8?
Yep.
Okay, so he takes 7 damage, radiant. And then the second creature gets the business end of the smite, taking a second level smite. So it takes, 14 damage.
Nice.
Not bad, Caspis.
Boom.
Not bad, as the sword explodes with radiant energy from these smites. They're both still up, but the one that took that first hit looks like it's starting to...
List a little bit?
Lilt.
Lilt. You say list?
Yeah.
Yeah, list is better.
List?
Yeah.
Starts to make a list.
All right. As the brilliance of the smite dies away, the sword like dissipates out of thin air and then reappears at Caspis's side.
I like the idea that as it explodes, that's when it disappears.
Yeah.
And it's kind of...
And then it reappears in a puff of icy vapor beside him.
Very cool.
Nice.
All right, and that's the end of the surprise round.
Nice.
Round one. Ignatius.
So he is going to, seeing Caspis's effective attack, he will try to capitalize on this thing's distraction, and he's going to bring his sword down, kind of trying to separate its brains, you know, the hemispheres.
The halves.
Yeah. He's going to roll with advantage, so... Wow. I rolled two fours, so that is almost certainly not going to hit. What is that? So that's 14?
14 to hit?
Yeah.
Is not a hit.
It's bad for advantage. And then I'm going to make my second attack.
Those are the rolls I had nightmares about.
Okay, thank God. Say, dirty 20. I rolled a 1 on one of them. I was like, no, is it going to do it again?
All right, and that's a hit.
All right, and then we do 23 points of damage.
And this thing just... gets split in half. The two hemispheres kind of fall apart from each other.
So I'll say basically what happened was he went to take a swing at it, but it managed to kind of lurch out of the way, and his sword impacted the flagstones underneath it, and then it kind of settled back over where it was, and he draws his sword back up through the, like, that great sword attack from Darkseid.
Yes, I know exactly what you're thinking
yeah.
of.
And cuts it in half on the upswing, and then he'll nod to Caspis, and then yeah, there's not much he can do there, so he'll just stay where he's at.
Okay. Is it the end of Ignatius Black's turn?
He will. That was his action. He's going to use his bonus action. I'm going to give it... Yeah, I'll just give it to Caspis again. It seems to work well. He's got the lowest... you got the highest bar for damage, but the lowest... you know, because you're a great weapon master.
Lowest bonus to get the attack in the first place.
Little bonus action, giving some bardic inspiration as you show Caspis your boner.
Yes, boner inspiration. All right, so you have...
God, wait.
Gonna attack it.
Looks like one of those aberrations.
All right, so, and yeah, that is going to be his turn.
Arcos.
All right, Arcos is going to jump forward that 5 feet again, going to attack this Grell number 2. Let's see how we do. Fuck. That is a 13 to hit, so definitely a miss. Not much. I was almost in that 20. That hurts my heart. That is a 16 to hit.
A 16 hits.
Awesome. All right, so a sneak attack. Colossus Slayer, since this one's been hit before, and the double bladed scimitar attacked.
Right, not bad, not bad.
28 points of damage on that attack.
Dang.
Holy smokes.
Did you use the bonus action attack that it gets as well? Because you didn't use your bonus action this time, did you?
I did not, no. But, yeah, I don't think I have. Yeah, I don't have have another bonus action I could use.
I thought it was I thought the sword automatically got the, or is that only if you do the Revenant Blade? Or you did the Revenant Blade, didn't you?
I did, yeah, but I attacked twice.
Yeah, that you get that from being your ranger, because you're 5th level ranger,
mm-hmm.
So that gives you an extra attack. And then you should get a bonus action attack from the offhand the other side of the double-bladed scimitar. I thought. Let me make sure of that, just because...
I think that's only if you have two weapons, because it says two-weapon fighting here.
It should count almost, so let me see. So special, if you attack with a double-bladed scimitar as part of attack action on your turn, you can use a bonus action immediately after you, to make a melee attack with it. This attack deals 1d4 instead of the 2d4.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it basically counts like your two-weapon fighting.
Interesting. I did not know that. So yeah, I'm going to make a bonus action attack.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a miss. That's a 14.
Okay, and I need you to roll a constitution save as you jump back into this hallway. You feel there is a grate underneath your feet.
Oh.
And that's where that gas is kind of coming up into this hallway.
Okay, Arcos is going to jump backwards as well, and you said
roll a constitution
save. Con-save.
And it seems, let me just be clear, it seems like the longer you stay in this hallway, the more damage you're going to take.
Okay.
Like, it's going to be hard to breathe.
All right, so that's a 13.
13, that's a fail.
Okay.
So you will take, 10 points of acid damage.
Ouch.
That's mustard gas.
I'll just say you have a high survival, right?
I do.
You would think that it would be smarter to crawl through this hallway than take less damage.
Just
that
crawl way.
Okay.
I'll give that to you.
Okay. You know what?
It's the simple things.
You know, that's probably a bad idea.
What's that?
I have absorb elements, so I could take that and use it, but these things are floating through it, so...
I was also thinking it's probably better to save for, like, if you take, like, a fireball to the face or something like... Something, because it's only... How much was it? I guess it was 10 damage. It's not a small amount. You could have it.
It might be immune.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah, that'll end my turn. Actually, let me move. If it's because I'm in the hall, he's just going to move.
Yeah. Yeah, as soon as you take that step back, you can already feel like the air is getting a little bit cleaner, a little bit easier to breathe out here.
Okay.
Just outside that hall.
Then that'll end my turn.
Okay. Because you guys killed Grell 1, Celeste, that's your turn.
Cool. I'm going to see that one that's... Grell 3, and you see these shadows kind of swirl around Celeste's hand, and she points a finger forth and lets out a guiding bolt at a first level.
Guided bolt?
Guiding bolt. It's a natural 16 to hit, plus 9.
That is a hit.
Cool. I'm just going to do it on here. And that's 14 points of radiant damage.
Okay, nice. Okay. Very good.
First level, that's pretty good, actually, because that's... Yeah.
It's a 4d6.
The thing shrieks out with a painful shriek. You guys can hear, like, that clicking noise in the back of its vocal scream.
Mm-hmm. That'll end her turn.
Okay. And that's Grell 2's turn. First thing that's going to happen. Ooh, this is going to be good. Caspis, Ignatius, and Celeste, and Arcos, you guys see this like a static field starting to form in the center of this room, and then it just kind of explodes out. I need you guys to make a dexterity saving throw.
Is this a magic thing?
It is... Yeah, technically.
So we have a plus magic five save? Caspis as well. Yes.
Well...
Is it casting magic on me?
Yes.
Okay. Sweet. This means I can use my thing. Finally. After all this time. It's a saving throw, right?
Yep.
Yes!
Get a plus five.
Yes! I get advantage on it. And I hope I roll a 20.
So you get advantage and you get a plus five? Because you're near... Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I get plus five?
Yeah, yeah, within 10 feet of me.
Damn. I hope I roll a 20. A natural 20. Come on. No, it's a 6 plus 5.
11?
11 plus, what was it, dexterity?
Yeah.
Plus 2. Come on, just a natural 20. Come on, if anything, give me a natural 20. No, it's a 4. It's two worse. That's not plus 14. It forgot the 1.
So I rolled a 6 plus 5. 11 plus 2.
13.
13.
Even with advantage and a plus 5, you got a 13?
I rolled a
6.
Rolled a 6 and a 4.
What did you guys get? What'd you get? That's a fail.
I got a 17, but I also rolled a 5, so...
Okay.
But that was because I have a... That's one of my proficient ones is dexterity, so...
That is the fucking worst.
I'm sorry. It's been... I just rolled a 2.
I got a 26.
Okay.
Or Arcos did.
I also got a 17.
17. So everybody but the magic user...
With the legendary magic
item. With the legendary magical item that I finally got to use.
Yeah.
So...
Fucked me!
What this means is you'll take full damage. You guys are still taking half. Okay, I rolled the damage. It was 20 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
Damage. You'll take 20.
Okay.
And you guys will all take 10.
I took that physically in my personal form.
That was real psychic damage.
It was real.
You're going to have to roll a new player.
Yeah. You said 20, right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Is there any further effect or just the damage?
Oh.
Oh, I shouldn't have said
No, you should have. So you are...
Am I blinded again?
No, you're stunned.
God damn it.
And then you see that storm, for lack of better words, is still kind of hovering in this area. And then, boy, okay. You see this green energy emit smoke out of its mouth, and then you see this bolt shoot out and explode onto you, Arcos. And I got a roll to hit.
A roll with disadvantage.
Okay.
Wait, real quick, what is the wording on your cape? If it's damage, because you took damage from the poison.
Is this, which one is this?
Still the
it's grell. Still the same, the grell one. Yeah. Or grell two.
Right.
Okay, yeah, fair. I took damage, so you do not have disadvantage.
So that's a 17 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
Okay. As this green energy explodes onto your body, you take 9 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
And maybe Celeste sees this. You see this green energy as it kind of float up and go into his eye sockets and his ear sockets.
I try to stop him, but I'm stunned.
Ear sockets as well?
Ear sockets as well.
Oh, no.
It's
like a Mr. Potato Head.
So, I'm sorry. How much damage was that?
9 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
And on your turn, next turn, you will have to make a save or attack Celeste.
Okay.
What should I put this on as his, what's happened to him?
It's something he can make a save. So once you save against it, then it's done.
Okay, so
can I use Uncanny Dodge on the attack?
Sure, if you want.
Because that halves the damage, right?
Yeah.
It just halves the damage.
Yeah, so that'll be 5 instead of 9.
Great. That's the end of its turn. It's staying right there. Grell 3, since it is kind of in close quarters with Caspus and Ignatius, what's going to happen is... Yeah, it's going to do the same thing to Ignatius. So let me roll to hit as that green energy swirls out of its mouth.
Is it a ranged attack?
Yes.
So it should have disadvantage because it's within 5 feet of 2 hostile creatures. Unless it has a special rule that says it ignores that.
It does not, which is so good for you because I just rolled a natural 20.
Okay.
God damn it. I wish I had... play that a little smarter. But even if I moved away, I probably would have got fucked anyway. So, all right. So, not terrible. You're probably still going to get hit. It's 23.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, roll a d4.
Oh, yeah. Well, it won't matter. But, yeah, do it anyway.
Just roll it. I got to do something in these two games.
Oh, 19.
Still.
Damn.
Okay.
Needs to be a 17. That's why I was like,
So, you will take... 12 points of psychic damage as it explodes on you. And on your turn, you will also have to make a save or attack.
It, right?
It says let me just get this clear. Chooses to attack a target at random. Okay, so, yeah. Could be anybody. I mean, the way that I read that is that you could run up to somebody and attack them.
Does it say I move or does it just say I attack?
It says attack somebody at random.
You can't attack someone that you're not adjacent to.
I cannot. If it doesn't affect my movement.
We play for funds, though.
We don't. We play for rules.
Oh, shit.
There's no fun here.
There isn't.
You've given me too much power now.
Then it's going to, after it does that to you, Ignatius, you see it kind of do a similar thing where it opens its mouth. You see this blue energy sort of swirl out of its mouth and then shoot at you, Caspus. And that is also a ranged attack. So that is going to be... 14.
That is a miss.
So you see, as it shoots out, this like electrical energy swirling around that bolt, and it just kind of arcs off of your armor and is repelled. And that's the end of its turn.
Oh, boy.
Actually, yeah, that's the end of its turn. Caspus, that is your turn.
Okay. It's going to make the attack. Basically raises his hand again, the blade obliging and readying for a strike. However, the tricky angle around the corner is preventing him from gaining a sure strike. Nonetheless, he brings it down with the full brunt of his the abstraction of his mind. He's not actually wielding the blade, but you know, as it responds to his to the chop of his hand, he strikes, hoping that that bane from Celeste will come through.
You have the bardic inspiration as well.
Nice. Yes, that is good to remember. 21?
21 will hit.
Nice. Okay. So 23, 28, 31 points of damage.
Oof, boy.
And I do have two spell slots left to me, first level, so...
This thing looks like it is just barely holding on.
As it slices down through the membranous sack of brains, it discharges with radiant energy, dealing 12 points of damage.
And the thing explodes in a mote of light and brain matter that coats the walls. Good job.
And then I will use my... Oh, wait, no, I can't do that. Wait, no, it's a great weapon master feature, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I will use my movement then. Possessed by a strange locomotion that is just motivated by something deeper than he is. He is driven forward into the hall, and I need two squares worth of, or 10 feet to move through an occupied square, right?
Yeah, an ally square, yeah.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, up to Grail 2, and...
You make a constitution save?
As you move past, Arco says, Caspes, hold your breath.
Okay, well, I mean, he's holding his breath a lot of the time anyway, but I imagine I'll still have to make that con save at the end, right?
Yes, please.
Is okay. It right? Is it when he enters it?
Or it was supposed to be as you entered, and I forgot.
Okay. So then, yeah, you would do it now, just to... Because if it has an effect other than...
Okay. So, for the con save, that is a 28.
Oh, geez.
Okay. It's a save, but you just take half. That's... 4 points of acid damage.
All right. And then he attempts to level this attack at this guy. He wants to play it smart, but the momentum that's driving him forward isn't even really something that he actively would have thought to have wanted to do in the first place. It's the sword, and it's just hungering for the death of this thing. And so it strikes with all of his might in this tight corridor, resolving itself at a 15.
Wait.
Sorry. Oh.
Bardic?
So do I use that now?
You would,
before.
Yeah,
before
you have to use it before you find out what the result is.
So how much, that's a D...
D10?
It's a D10, yeah.
Okay. Stack a D10 onto that for the Bardic Inspiration. Thank you for the clarification, because I always forget that.
It's a D10 for after you get to level 10, it goes to
okay,
D10.
Okay. Okay, yeah, nice. 22.
22 is a big ol' hit.
All right.
Nice.
So, and just to clarify, for smites, you would declare them after you hit, but before you roll damage.
Okay.
Just because,
really?
Yeah, because it's because you were doing it and then being like, and I'll put a smite on that after you've rolled the base.
I honestly thought that was how I'd seen it done pretty often, but I will defer to this.
Yeah, because it's when you hit. So basically, the idea is that you don't know if it's, because if you do it after you roll the damage, then it could die and you could save a spell slot. It's kind of all has to go at the same time. So that's
Okay. So then this last spell slot that I have to my name channels down that blade as it impacts against this creature, dealing. Man, I love that reroll. Sometimes it takes away, though. I mean, that didn't take away, just didn't give any more on that one. So we've got 28 damage on that, and then the smite ripples, dealing a further 7 points of radiant damage. So 28 plus 7, 35 damage.
Explodes with radiant energy as you slash down on this creature.
Hell
it
yeah.
Shrieks out in pain, but it is still floating before you.
Okay.
Is that the end of Caspus' turn?
Yes, and he, I mean, visibly exhausted, even though it's, you know, not a situation in which you would try to break with your poise. He buckles a little bit and falls against the side of the wall, holding himself up with one hand while the sword continues to float next to him, ready for what comes next.
And just so you're aware... If you stay in this hall again, you'll take the damage again.
Yeah. He's here now. He's going to have to reevaluate on the basis. I could technically use my last 5 feet of movement to step back, but that's only going to do worse things for me. So I'm still going to take the damage. Then I get to deal with him.
Yep. Good call. All right. That's round 3? Or no, 2?
Technically, aren't we on to round 2 right now?
This is round 2.
Yeah.
This is round 2.
Yeah, okay, because we had round surprise.
The bonus
round
and then the round one.
Okay.
Technically, the surprise round is round one. I always forget about that. So anyways, Ignatius, that's your turn.
All right. So Ignatius will...
4 more Grells. Oh. Batnovsk.
Doesn't he need to roll a saving throw of some sort? Because he had the mind effect. Is that at the start of his turn?
That is...
I didn't think that Nace had to.
He got hit.
Yeah, he got hit.
He got hit by the thing.
But you'll. So you make the save now, and then if you fail it, then you have to go attack somebody.
Okay, this is important. Does it say go attack or attack the nearest person to me? Because if it doesn't compel my movement, then I don't know how that works.
You don't have to attack.
It says on its turn and each turn thereafter, the victim makes a save at DC 15 or chooses to attack a target at random.
Hmm. I think that is actually... Because technically, it doesn't say when it has to happen, because it says it...
If it seems like you feel compelled to attack something, so I think it would allow like your movement to get drawn towards.
Well,
because
I guess unless I don't know.
I think if it was a similar ability that was supposed to be advantageous to you, that it would be resolved against your favor if you didn't have anything around you.
That's true. How do you want to? Well, I guess let me roll the save first. We'll see
if it matters. If you didn't have any movement to spend, you wouldn't be able.
It's true. Although I do have a... it will probably come up. You said, what is the save?
15.
15, yeah. So that is, I'm outside of your... Outside of the bubble. So that's 4 plus... What was the save? Sorry.
15.
No, I mean, what was the...
Con save.
Con save?
Or? Oh.
Probably mental, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a wisdom save.
Wisdom, okay. Because I was going to say, if it's charisma, that's actually not terrible. But yeah, that's a total of 5.
No good.
Yeah. So he
sees that bitch Celeste.
And that's at the start of his turn. So his mind is kind of. Here's the thing. He could. I would say that if he moved within range of someone to attack, he would attack. But if I choose not to move, or do you want me to, or do you think that he should be compelled to move?
I would like that you're compelled to move.
Okay.
But it also says chooses to attack, at random. I don't like that wording.
Ignatius is his mind is broken right now, and he is deciding to attack someone.
So that's what I'm going to go with.
Okay,
I want to say you will move up one and feel compelled to attack somebody.
Do I have to decide? So
it's at random, so you're going to roll.
Okay, so I'll just
do a D6, 1, 2, 3, Arcos, 4, 5, 6, Celeste.
Okay, so let's see. So that is a 2.
All right, Arcos.
Arcos. He does not have advantage, so... And it's the next round, so your cape is reset, correct?
It resets at the start of my turn.
Ah, so, okay. So, yeah, so I'm gonna... I gotta RP this a little bit. You see, after the thing has passed, and Caspis goes off to fight the thing, you see Ignatius kind of struggling a little bit, and then he kind of, like, shakes his head, and he tries to take off the helmet, but then he can't quite get it off, because he's mentally having a break, and he... You hear him kind of, and then he'll turn, and you hear him coming up behind you, and you're not really sure, but he seems off. You can kind of...
I like that Arcos sees actually like a little bit of that green wisp like come out of his eye sockets on the helmet.
So maybe hearing that noise from Nace, he turns really quick and sees the wisps in his eyes.
And he goes to swing with his sword. Now, he has 2 attacks. Does he have to use... How does that work?
Me personally, I would say you would do what you would normally do.
Well, there are items that do, like there's the Berserker Axe, there is the, there's a couple different things that do a similar thing. Oh, shit. Okay, well, it wasn't a 20, but it's a 18 plus 9.
Yeah, that hits.
So 27.
That'll do it.
So he'll probably roll another random roll, right? For the second attack?
Sure, yep.
Yeah, do it. Bring it.
So that's... So at this point, he has to attack like he is trying to hurt, right? Like, would you say that I also have to reroll my ones?
I would say you'd be doing what you would normally do.
Okay, that's I think that's the rule.
This
I guess
is some ho
is
shit.
Is it on Arcos again?
No, I haven't. I'm still rolling the damage, but I rolled a 1, so I need to decide if I'm going to reroll that 1 or not. So so we got a 4 and a 5. I guess we'll might as well just calculate this on your hit points. No, let me see. We got
Nace. What the fuck? What the fuck are you doing?
And then I get to reroll those 2. Isn't
Arcos fucked with that 2?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I haven't failed the save yet.
Oh.
And as has been standard since I've been able to reroll these, that's 23 points of damage. There is 10 of that was fire. I don't know. Well, you can't uncanny dodge yet, can you? Because your turn's not back around. Wait, no, you didn't uncanny dodge.
He can uncanny dodge.
I did.
But this is the start of a new deal, isn't it?
Well, it's for me it is, but since rounds are technically, you know, his round doesn't start until it's his turn again.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, wait, hold on. How much fire damage was it?
10.
10? All right. It was 23 total?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so this is what's going to happen. No, I don't have my reaction. Never mind. I can't even use absorb elements.
Oh.
So never mind.
All right. So then
fuck, 23? All right.
Then we roll to see what his next attack does. Okay, it is a 6, which is Celeste, correct?
So that's Celeste, yep.
She's Celeste. Just some stunned in the corner.
Oh, she's stunned. What is? I have advantage on the attack roll, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah,
come
stunned
on.
Creature
come on,
is incapacitated.
Roll it. Come
so
on.
Is that
yep,
an auto
can't
crit?
Take actions or
it's
reactions.
It's not paralyzed, so...
The creature automatically fails strength and dex saves, and attack rolls against the creature have advantage.
Okay, so nat 20.
Oh my
no
god.
No way.
On the first roll.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Well, Celeste hasn't been attacked at all yet, has she?
Yeah.
She has?
I've already gotten 20 damage.
Okay, well.
I think I've got the lowest hit points out of all of you.
I will say that the save for this thing is not that high.
Oh, that, yeah.
It's just that you failed it miserably.
Well, now that I'm still outside of his range.
Just bring it, Andy.
So that's 30. So it's 30 minus 1. 2, so hold on, let me calculate this because he's got to reroll the ones and twos. So that's 30 minus 6 so far. So it's 24, and then let me reroll these 4d6.
The 4d6.
Yeah.
I can calculate this for you.
Okay, so that's another 8.
All right, 32.
And then the other ones. Okay, that was a 1 and a 2, so.
So, 35
points of damage.
Cool.
On that crit.
Yep, cool. So yeah, you guys would see that Ignatius is carrying himself a lot different than he normally does. He's got more hunched, and he seems like he's just kind of like trying to restrain, but he's just swinging wildly, and this fire sword is...
Damn it, Nace. Snap out of it.
That green glow is still kind of like intermittently
it's like
coming out.
Yeah, I'll say it's like flaring with the fire that kind of normally goes...
Yeah. Mm. And that's the end of Ignatius' turn.
Yes, completely great turn. And he's going to give the Grail, no, give the Grail Bardic Inspiration. Yeah. You can do it, Grail!
It's Arcos now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I get to roll the same save. Yeah. It might be PvP.
Well, you are in the aura, at least, so you can have a minus. Yeah.
Well, you already saved on it, right?
No. I haven't rolled it.
Yeah, because I rolled at the start of my turn, and then he's rolling at the start of his turn.
Okay.
All right.
Not bad. Not bad. That's a wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
A 24.
Okay, you are unaffected.
Nace, you stupid bitch. Stop swinging at us.
To see what the big deal is.
Fuck. Man. I feel bad for leaving Celeste there. With Nace as he's battling through this. Is there anything that Arcos can do to help Nace snap out of this?
You can restrain him, and I'll give him a bonus to his next save.
So it doesn't... Yeah, I guess that's not... I was going to say, it doesn't compel me to make reaction attacks. The problem is that Ignatius has like a 20 to strength, and everyone else has not that high
of
strength.
Yeah, no, it's...
Well, I think you could still do it, because you have... If it's a grapple... I don't know.
Man. So I don't know whether I should try to restrain Ignatius or help Caspis. What do you guys think?
Help me out, and then I guess we'll just, after that brain is dead, we'll run away from him until he makes a save.
All right, cool. Cool, so...
Actually, if Caspis moves towards me, it would help with the save.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you'll make it eventually.
All right, so this is what I would like to do, and let me know if this helps with the next save I'm about to make.
Slingshot your way down the hall.
Kind of thinking it to some extent, right? You know, like hop
off Caspis and like jump over or slide underneath one of the two. Caspis is a tall dude, but would it help Arcos if he inhaled and then did like a deep exhale as he was going through to avoid that acid?
How far are you running?
I have a movement speed of 40 feet.
Are you just trying to run down the hallway past all the gas?
I think he's trying to get down behind the grill.
Yeah, so like get down here.
The gas is filling this whole hallway. So it's you're still in the gas.
All right, whatever. All right, yeah. I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Okay.
He is going to take a deep breath in, and then he is going to exhale as he starts to run down through. He's going to use the movement to get through Caspis's square, and he's going to try to, like, not leap over him, but, like, use his shoulder as kind of, like, a launching pad and just kind of, like, jump over, and then he's going to attack this thing.
Okay.
And now with advantage. Thank God.
How do you can't move through an enemy space, right?
Not normally, no.
They're floating.
But it's usually, haven't we allowed like some sort of like tumble check?
If you can make like an acrobatics or athletics check.
Yeah, natty 16.
Okay, all right.
Okay. All right, so rolling that attack. Natty 14 for a 22 to hit.
That's a hit.
All right, so first attack using Colossus Slayer and sneak attack. That is 23 points of damage on the first attack.
Caspis, you see more of this magic swirl out of this thing's mouth as it's like that clicking noise. And then all of a sudden you see exploding out of its mouth the butt end of Arcos' double-ended scimitar smash out the mouth, basically.
Perfect.
Replacing its tongue with a steel blade.
Hell yeah.
Senses the steel with his blind sense of Arcos' scimitar draw within scant inches of his own mirror-faced helm, and he exhales in relief, bracing for the attack as he was.
Very good. Arcos, you need to make a con check real quick.
So, my turn isn't over yet.
But it happens when you...
It happens at the beginning of the turn.
Man, fuck that. Hear me out. Can he drop prone?
You can drop prone if you'd like, but I believe if you crawl, you take half of that. You still take half. So if you save, you'll take half of the half.
Okay.
That's plus five?
I am by Caspis. Yeah, probably not. That's what? You said wisdom?
This is a con.
This is a contract.
Oh, so even worse. So yeah, that's just a 10.
Okay, I rolled a 10. So since you're dropped, you're just going to take half.
Five.
Okay. So five.
And then he'll tell Caspis, Caspis, get down. And that'll end his turn.
Do we count the combat as over since we still have a marauding Arcos? Or not Arcos, Ignatius?
No. Yes, we... shit's still happening.
Does the mind effect... Is it something it's concentrating on, or does it...
It seems like it's still going.
So it's just affecting me? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and he got hit by the one that I killed, so...
That's what I was wondering. I was going to... Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
After Arcos drops to the ground, the Glavesman runs up to try to restrain you after seeing what you did.
You're going to jail!
And...
Don't make me crit you.
Fuck. he rolled a 5. So, I mean...
Do I roll a opposed grapple, or what is the...
You can if you'd like, yeah. I just feel like you're going to...
Your modifier alone?
Well, what's his modifier?
I have a plus 4.
Okay. So I have a plus 8, so 18.
Yeah, so you end up shoving him off. Well, if he has 2 attacks, can he make another?
Yeah, grapple check.
Okay. All right, so he's going to try again.
Can he? Because does it replace an action or an attack?
It replaces an attack, one of your attacks, to make a grapple check.
Oh my god, natural 1. Just forget it. He goes to like grab you. He's like, what are you doing? And you knock him off. He tries to grapple you again. Maybe he just kind of like trips and falls down to the ground.
I'm usually so good.
And Celeste, that's your turn.
I do nothing.
Okay.
Wait, when does her stun end?
After the end of my turn, right?
Yes.
The save DC is the first one, and then if he doesn't make it, he's stunned until the end of his turn.
Yeah, okay. So she just stands there, or incapacitated, just...
All right,
and then that's Caspis' turn. Make a con check.
Okay.
Or con save, I mean.
Does he drop prone or does he stay up?
He turns in place toward you, still standing though.
Okay.
That is a 15 plus 8, so 23.
So you'll just take half. That's only 2 points of acid damage.
Okay. So as he, you're breathing in acid of his thing, takes a lurching step down the hallway, coalescing up out of this acidic mist towards you, Ignatius. He holds up his hand and says, "Fight it, brother." As you re-enter the saving aura,
okay,
that he confers to you.
So, yeah, so anyone near him would kind of hear an. Oh, God, not more. He's like starting to utter things as he's as this. Whatever the mind-altering effect, there's something going on with him, and he's going to. Are we just? Is it? Would we say it's his turn to try to save? Or?
Yeah, okay. That's the end of the round after Caspus, okay. And now it's your turn.
All right, so I'm going to use my
point of inspiration.
It's I guess I feel like I have to do it. Like you know, it's a 17 plus, so it's a 17 base. So
man,
okay. You feel the healing, supportive energy of Caspus as he approaches you, and seeing the elven man on the ground who's just tried to stop you. And
I imagine she's still, because was it at the end of her turn that she's, or she's still stunned right now?
It was at the end of her turn, so she's good.
So she came out of it basically as he's like clutching the sword in both hands, and he was like struggling, and you can kind of see that the fire is licking off the blade, but then you see him start to untense as he kind of glances at Caspus as he approaches, and then kind of like lets the blade go, and it clatters on the ground and the fire goes out.
I'd like to think that like as you come through is like as you come to, Celeste comes to as well, and she sees you standing there, and she like all the pains ride through. Mm-hmm. She's only got like 20 hit points left.
Yeah,
like what are you doing?
And then pursuant to that, just as the blade deignites and clatters to the ground, in Caspus from behind him out of the mist, the sword drifts just into view as though it was ready, but then it stops just behind his shoulder.
Celeste kind of like falls into the corner.
I thought we were on a team.
As the sword clatters to the ground, Celeste crawls to the corner. We hear like the echo of the sword and Arcos still kind of back in the hallway.
Yeah,
I'll say you kind of you've moved back up.
I was gonna say he's definitely back with them.
We'll say like as the clatter kind of echoes and rings out through this chamber, you guys all hear coming from further in the chamber. And until next time, is Everything's a Mimic.
Is it? Is everything really
everything
a mimic?
Everything is a mimic.
Everything always has to be.
Hey everyone, Nick here. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to check us out on Patreon and our web sizzle at everythingsamimic.com. Thank you so much.
Dude, that was my funny bone. That was not funny.
I laughed, though.
Yeah, you did.
I laughed. You son of a bitch.
If your DM kills you in real life, does your character die in game, or is it just like kept in a kind of stasis?
No, it's like it would be if your character died, right? Somebody else just comes in to play your character for you. Instead of you playing a new character.
Your character rolls a new you.
Pretty much.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they try to play
your character rolls well. A new you.
Yeah. yes, I think my player, his name would be Poop Shoes. Like, why, Arcos? Why would you name me Poop Shoes? Dickhead.
Poop Shoes. Yes. Yes, that is a good name.
It's a 5 and a 2. Let me see. So we got, and then roll these again. Reroll that 2 when it comes up. All right, it's another 5 plus 5. And reroll the 1 and the 2 that I rolled on those.
There you go.
For another 5 and a 3. All net gains. Plus 5, plus 3, plus 5. So
net gains. My name's Andy. Net gains.
That's what I say a lot, yeah. 23.
Arcos, how's the one in the front?
Argos.
Where are you, Argos?
Argos, are you there?
Don't talk to me, woman, unless spoken to. Oh. My name's Arcos. Don't leave me here for Arcos' sake.
That's one of my favorite parts of Skyrim, man. I love that guy. Just the dude who's like caught in the webs of the spiders of the first Draugr temple you go to. And he's like, if you don't talk to him, he's like, don't leave me here for RK's sake. Don't leave me here for RK's sake.
I'm just going to stand here for a little longer. Don't leave me.